Things we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Wednesday show, I'll chat with VOA's Mike Hove about next month's Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Ivory Coast. I'll also talk with VOA's Mukbil Yabaro about the National Basketball Association's in-season tournament, and in African women's basketball, Iron Mike Mbonye has a report on the FIBA Africa Zone 3 competition in Abuja. Joining me now here in Studio 22 is my VOA colleague, Mike Hove. Sporty greetings, Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. What's good?
Great to have you here in studio. As we talk, we're 38 days away from the kickoff of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament. Going back to 1984, Mike, that was the last time Ivory Coast hosted the tournament. Only 8 teams. Now there are 24. Where will those teams be playing matches in terms of the AFCON venues?
So there's a couple of stadiums that are going to be held across the nation. In Abidjan, the capital, there are two stadiums. The first one is Alassane, that holds a capacity of about 60,000 people. Mm. So it's going to be exciting to see if they're possible, if they're going to fill that up, because that's a big number. The next one is going to be Felix, that's 33,000 people. And then in Boakai, there's a stadium that's Stade La Paix, which sits a capacity of 40,000 people. In Cojojo, the stadium sits about 20,000 people. In San Pedro, the stadium also sits 20,000 people. And the last stadium that will be hosting AFCON games is in Yamoussoukro. That sits a capacity of about 20,000 people. So these are the large numbers that are expected to attend these games.
We hope there is good attendance at this next AFCON, Mike. Let's talk about the star players you'll be watching at AFCON. Give me a few that you think can really make an impact.
The list, Sonny, is endless. I will point out a couple of names here. Let's start off with Morocco. And the reason why I'm starting off with Morocco is because, I mean, let's look at their World Cup performance. That was really amazing.
Highest ranked African team.
So I'm going to start off there with Morocco. They've got a lot of heavy hitters in their list. We'll start with the goalkeeper, Yassine Bounou. He's playing out in Saudi Arabia. He was recently he was a standout player for the Moroccans in the World Cup. We'll go with Ashraf Hakimi, a PSG right back. Everybody knows he's doing amazing things out there. Sofyan Amrabat, I'm a Manchester United fan, so he's someone that I'm looking forward to see what he can do in the defensive midfielder. Hakim Ziyech, he broke my heart in the last Champions League game. Did amazing things for Galatasaray, so I'm expecting him to stand out too. So those are a couple of names with the Moroccans. Now, there's also the Ghanaians. Like I said, for me, there are two teams that really I expect to shine at this World Cup, and that is Ghana and Morocco. With the Ghanaians, they also have a long list of players that are going to stand out here. So just to name a few. Actually, let me start off with the Egyptians before I head to the Ghanaians.
What are they, 8-time champions?
Exactly. That's why I said, let me head out. 7 times. That's all. I was like,
7 times.
Before I run over to the other teams, let me head over to the Egyptians. The Egyptians, they've got Mohamed El Shenawy. He plays in the local league, but they're goal keeper, really, he does amazing things. He's a standout player, 34. He's a veteran. We'll also head over to Mahmoud Trezeguet, their left wing. He's had an amazing career as a footballer, so I'm looking forward to see what they do. And then, of course, the last player that we're going to spotlight from Egypt, Mohamed Salah.
Big Mo!
He does amazing things for Liverpool, so I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. If we look at their recent games that they played really great in their World Cup qualifiers. I don't even know what to call what they did to Djibouti. That was 6-0. They blasted them out the water. So that was exciting. To see what they did with Sierra Leone, 2-0, that was also another thing. So those are a couple of teams that I'm going to be spotlighting. Ghana, they've got a long list of players. And I'm going to start off with by shouting out my man, Mukbil. He's one of the Ghanaians, Thomas Partey. He's a solid central defensive midfielder. I've seen him play right back for Arsenal, so I'm really excited to see how versatile he'll be at AFCON. Mohamed Kudus, kudos for Kudus. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do at AFCON, considering his World Cup performance. That's something I'm looking forward to.
Well, Mike, My only hesitation about going with Ghana, their buildup for this Nations Cup has been...
It's been rocky.
I know they were here in the States for some friendly matches, and the USA, they really did a number on
them. Yes, definitely. So here's the thing. The reason why I spotlight Ghana is the star players that they have. When it's time to play, it's time to play. I saw what they did in the World Cup. They almost made it to the quarters. They almost made it to the next round. That, for me, was something that really made a statement that when it's really time to switch it on, they're really capable of switching it on. Their World Cup qualifiers, and of course, like you highlighted, their U.S. friendly wasn't really impressive. They won one game against Madagascar, 1-0. Comoros, they lost 1-0. And like you highlighted, the U.S. performance wasn't as exciting. But Sonny, that principle has applied to other teams. Look at Nigeria. Nigeria's two recent World Cup qualifiers, they drew both of them to teams that are, no offense, I am Zimbabwean by birth, so I'm excited to see Zimbabwe play up there. But against the Super Eagles, for them to draw 1-1, that really was not impressive. For Nigeria to draw 1-1 to Lesotho, that's not impressive. So I don't really want to use the World Cup qualifiers as an example as to how their performance are, but I want to look at the players, the star players, and of course their performances when it's time to switch on.
What about the host team, Mike? The Elephants of Ivory Coast.
Yes.
They'll definitely have partisan support.
Yes, of course.
For all their matches. What do you think of their chances?
So I'm excited to see how Ivory Coast performs. Like you highlighted, this is home ground for them. Every team, when they play at home, the home ground advantage does something. They don't really have the star power that I expect in comparison to a Ghana, in comparison to an Egypt, in comparison to a Senegal. So there's two players that really are doing amazing things that are from Ivory Coast, and that would be Seko Fofana. He plays with CR7 Al Nassr out in Saudi Arabia, and Wilfred Zaha, who plays with Galatasaray. Those two players really are standout players. They've done amazing things. However, once again, to go back to their World Cup qualifiers, they blew Seychelles out the water 9-0, and they lost to Gambia 2-0.
The Islanders had a tough road there.
Exactly. So for me, I'm really excited to see what Ivory Coast does. However, I that's not a team that I expect them to go far, but I don't see them reaching the finals.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with my VOA colleague, Mike Hove, about the upcoming Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Ivory Coast. Mike, let's go to the groups.
Right,
and
let's head over to it.
We'll take a quick look at the teams and maybe our picks for the group winners.
All right.
Starting with Group A, we got the host team, Ivory Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Nigeria,
Super Eagles,
Equatorial Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. Who do you like in that group?
I would point out the first two teams. That would be the Elephants and, of course, the Super Eagles. Makes sense. Equatorial Guinea and Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau has tended to pull their weight, but I just don't see them having it in them to take out the Super Eagles and the hosts.
I agree with those two picks, Mike. And let's also spotlight January 18th. When Ivory Coast will host Nigeria in Abidjan.
Yes.
That should be a great match.
Big game. Big game to be expected. These are West African rivals. I'll say that very loosely. But this is a team that really, a game that has historical pretext to it. These are teams that are both seen as heavy hitters on the continent. So I'm looking forward to see what comes out of that game.
Group B. Egypt, seven-time champions.
Of course.
Ghana, Cape Verde, and Mozambique. I'll go with Egypt and Ghana, Mike.
I'm going to completely agree with you, Sonny. I'm not going to fight the bottom two teams. Look, I applaud them for qualifying. Mozambique, Cape Verde. It's really amazing to see what they're able to produce. They actually do well when it comes to club football. So I'm really impressed that they made it to AFCON. But this group should be a walk in the pack for Egypt and Ghana.
Group C, we have the defending Nations Cup champion, Senegal. Cameroon, Guinea, and Gambia. How do you see that group?
Now, this group is very interesting. I will give it to three teams. I know for a fact Senegal is going to qualify. Well, I don't know for a fact, but I would expect Senegal to qualify as the defending champions. Cameroon and Guinea. Cameroon have done it really amazing. At the World Cup, once again, to go back to their most recent, when it's time to switch it on, they really are able to switch it on. But I would not rule out Guinea. They are definitely up there in terms of the teams that could qualify out of that group.
As a Man U supporter, Mike, how about a shout-out for Cameroon's goalkeeper?
Of course, I saw that one coming. Andre Onana. Shout-out to Andre Onana. That's another discussion point on its own. I'm really looking forward to see how Andre Onana performs at AFCON. As you know, he's not the keeper that we saw when we signed him. You know, before that, he was doing really amazing things. And that's not to say that Onana hasn't shown he's shown us those glimpses of brilliance from time to time. But he just has had a very rocky start with Manchester United. So I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like for him at AFCON. Is he going to continue the same trajectory he's been with United, or is he going to switch it on for Cameroon and come back to United as a whole different man? So I'm looking forward to see that.
Group D, we have Algeria, Burkina Faso, Mauritania, and Angola.
I'm giving it to the top two teams, Algeria and Burkina Faso. Those are the teams that I'm expecting to go out. When I look at some of the lists, the players that are on the list, those two teams for me just stand out. They have the star power to pull it out of that group in Group D.
Go to Group E now, Mike. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, mm-hmm. another flock of eagles, Eagles of Mali, mm-hmm. South Africa, and Namibia.
Now, with that one, Sonny, my heart's broken. I'll be very frank with you. why? Because I'm also a Bafana Bafana fan. I'm a South Africa fan. However, I know I don't see them making it through. That's a very sad story because that's a team that once upon a time was really a formidable team on the nation. But on that in Group E, I expect Tunisia, Mali, those are the two teams that should be making it through. With Tunisia, there's another thing I really wanted to point out. I was really looking at their squad, and I was surprised that Hannibal Medri, and once again, and I'm saying this as a Manchester United fan, so I might be biased, but he's really been a great player for Man United, so I was surprised to see him not included in the squad. He was included in the squad for the World Cup for Tunisia, so when I looked at it, I was really surprised, but I really expect Tunisia to make it through, and I'm excited to see how far they're going to go with that one.
Finally, Mike, in Group F, Morocco, the semifinalist last year at the World Cup, mm-hmm. DR Congo, Zambia, and Tanzania.
That one goes without a saying. Morocco is definitely making it out of that group. That's a guarantee. The next one, I will give it to DR Congo, but once again, I'm not going to rule Zambia out of that one. And then another sad story, Tanzania. Tanzania, from a national standpoint, somehow doesn't stand up. But from a club level, a lot of Tanzanian football clubs really stand high on the African continent. When we look at the local leagues, Tanzania is up there. So I'm really surprised as to why they don't do well at a national standpoint. But once again, I'm looking forward to seeing how they perform.
The Sunny Side of Sports and the Voice of America will have special coverage of the Africa Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast. And Mike, maybe talk briefly about our podcasts that we're planning.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be having an amazing podcast that I look forward to hosting with you, Sonny. We're going to have people on the ground and that are going to be coming on. We're going to have, we expect to have a couple of big hitters that will be joining us as guests. So it's something that I'm looking forward to. This is going to be six episodes that we're going to host throughout the whole tournament every week, making sure that people get updated information. So we're talking the best players, we're talking the highest scores, we're talking who's disappointed, who's doing amazing. So it's something that I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to it too. And also, what about the digital aspects of our AFCON coverage?
Of course, definitely. We want to give you on the ground footage. So everything, we want to make sure that you hear from the fans. We want to make sure that you hear from the coaches. We want to make sure that everything will be available to you. So for all our Instagram followers, follow us at VOA Africa. Follow our webpage, voaafrica.com. Come to our Facebook page, Sunny Side of Sports, and of course, VO Africa. So those are the places where you'll be getting day-by-day information. You'll be hearing from the fans. You'll be hearing from the coaches. You'll be hearing from the sports. You'll be hearing it all, folks.
On our social media platforms, Mike, maybe we'll see a photo or two of Akwaba, the AFCON mascot.
Of course. Akwaba, that is the AFCON mascot for this year. An elephant. I found that really interesting. But listen, once again, you know, the stories behind all these mascots for me, I find very intriguing. Of course, this is the Ivory Coast emblem. So it's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing. But Akwaba will definitely be featuring on our pages.
All right. VOA's Mike Hove. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate you, Sonny.
In African women's basketball, Nigeria Customs Service is the champion of FIBA Africa Zone 3 and will represent the zone in next week's Africa Women Basketball League finals in Egypt. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Abuja, Nigeria.
Nigeria Customs Service women basketball team defeated Mountain of Fire Miracles Ministry, or MFM, 55-49. To emerge winner of FIBA Africa Zone 3 Women Basketball League. MFM, champion of Nigerian Women Basketball Premier League, dominated the first two quarters of the game. The Customs team later overcame the initial dominance of MFM, leveled scores in the third quarter, and won the game. Abdulrahman Mohammed is the head coach of the Nigeria Customs Service team. He says the team is glad to emerge champions of FIBA Africa Zone 3. He says though the team will go to the African finals as underdogs, they will try their best.
Well, like I said, we're going there after a very, very, very long time. I don't remember how long, but it's been quite long. And we're definitely going to be underdogs. We're going to meet a lot of teams that are well prepared. I understand some of the teams out there have brought in players from the WNBA to play. So it's going to be a tough, but I don't want so much expectation from Nigerians. We're just going to go there and compete. And then we hope the result is just going to come. But I don't want to start saying we're going to win the trophy because that's just me talking. But as a coach, I'm a very, very practical and realistic person. So we're going there to compete. And then hopefully we give our best, and then the result is going to come.
Okorogun Ochuko, coach of Mountain of Fire and Miracles team, says her team has learned some lessons from the tournament.
It was fair, like my captain said. The officiating was perfect. I was even surprised. Sometimes I'll be expect, because I was not even expecting them to give small fouls. They were giving it, so it was clear. At least it made the game to be not too rough because they were calling it. And it was a tough tournament for everybody. I came and learned. I learned from the teams we played against. I learned from the coaches of the teams we played against. I'm going back home with a big lesson and lots of things to work on with my girls.
Adeka Daudu, a Nigerian basketball coach who watched the games, says there is need to have more tournaments to keep the players busy.
Yes, there were some rustiness again, but I think the girls did a very fantastic game. We need to have this kind of competitions from time to time. And I'm appreciating Zone 3 and the custom team for having hosted this for us to have at least gotten a game here.
Nigeria Customs Service, an aspect of Benin Republic, will represent FIBA Africa Zone 3 in the final of the Africa Women Basketball League taking place in Alexandria, Egypt, from December 11 to 19, 2023. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. Pro basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers scored victories Tuesday night to advance to the semifinals in the National Basketball Association's in-season tournament. The Bucks routed the New York Knicks 146-122. While the Lakers edged the Phoenix Suns 106-103. Joining me now for some hoops insights is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, let's begin with the Lakers. LeBron, so strong in the fourth quarter. Tell us about his performance.
Sonny, to be honest with you, I feel like LeBron James is just really defying everything that we had expected to see from a player of his age. You know, a lot of people are saying that he's on a downswing of his career, you know, 20 plus now. But you could not tell if you watched him play last night. LeBron had 31 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, 5 steals. Unbelievable numbers. He really was the catalyst for the Los Angeles Lakers to get the win yesterday. You know, he did have some help from Anthony Davis with 27 points, 15 rebounds, alongside Austin Reeves, who also put up 20 points and 6 rebounds. But all in all, it was a Herculean task to take on the Phoenix Suns, but they were able to get the job done. You know, I think this is another situation that's been going on with the Phoenix Suns, not being able to have their three, you know, what they like to call their big three, not being able to play. Bradley Beal was out. Kevin Durant put up 31 points. Devin Booker with 21 just was not enough to get it done, unfortunately.
McBill, LeBron and the Lakers will now make the short flight to Las Vegas. I think it's about 45 minutes. And they'll play the New Orleans Pelicans on Thursday night in Las Vegas. How do you see that Lakers-Pelicans matchup?
It's going to be a very, very interesting game, simply because this is two completely different styles of teams that are going to be colliding, right? You have a Los Angeles Lakers team that is being led by this aging veteran, right, who is defying, you know, father time for the moment, in LeBron James, with Anthony Davis as well, and Austin Reeves making sure that, you know, he gets his points in as well and his contributions. But then on the other side, you have a New Orleans Pelicans team who is really being led by a bunch of young stars, and Zion Williamson is really having a really, really good season this year. He's a very, very dominant player. You know, we remember him coming out of high school. He was this phenom that was supposed to be the next best thing. Being plagued by injuries early on in his career, he really hasn't got his footing down yet. But every time he plays and he's not injured, he really has this sort of unique style of play that he plays, because he's not really that big of a player in terms of height. He's only 6'7", but he's like, when he's on his lighter side, maybe 280, and he plays this bully basketball where even when he misses jump shots, he goes and grabs rebounds. He's still very, very athletic. So I'm very interested to see what he's able to do against this Los Angeles Lakers team alongside Brandon Ingram, who's a stud as well. So this young team, the Pelicans, really, really has a lot, you know, riding on this game. And I think they might want to prove it to themselves more than LA, to come out of this tournament, with a win. So, we'll see how it goes. But I know, if I know anything about LA and LeBron and his teammates, he's going to want to get it done as well. So it's not going to be an easy task for the New Orleans Pelicans.
Buckville, I like your description of Zion and bully basketball. You don't play bully basketball, though. You're more of a finesse player, right?
I'm definitely a finesse guy. I do not have that level of strength that Zion has. You know, every now and then I can, you know, kind of cradle the ball and go in and you know, nudge some players in the post, but definitely not moving players like Giannis. I remember a possession a couple years ago where Giannis and Zion both had their hands on the ball, and Zion literally rips it out of Giannis's hands and just goes back up for a dunk. And to put that into perspective, Giannis is one of the stronger players in the league. His style of basketball is very much similar to bully basketball, where he will literally run. He just runs into the paint and just dips his shoulder in most of the time, and he gets his baskets that way. So for a player that, you know, is used to playing that style, to have his own style played on him, that was huge for me to see that. So it showed really like the discrepancy. Maybe it was just one play, but I've seen Zion do this to a lot of different players. So he's definitely on the stronger end of the players in the league, for sure.
McBill, in the other NBA game Tuesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks crushed the New York Knicks 146-122, season high in points for the Bucks. Checking the stats, and it looks like they really relied on the long ball there in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
All they were doing, the Milwaukee Bucks were making it rain from three. we have, if we're looking across the board, Chris Middleton, like this is, they had about seven players that made three-pointers in that game. So to me, that's huge. You had Beasley that scored 6 3-pointers, leading the team. Dame Lillard scored 5 threes. He was 5 for 7, which is unbelievable. 71.4% from three, for Dame.
We left a lot of points on the board too. We missed free throws. We missed some shots in the paint. You know, this could have easily been 165 point game.
Yeah, the list was at, even Giannis had one. Giannis took one and scored one. He was 100% from three. So yeah, it was really a clinic for the Bucks. And the interesting thing about it too, Sonny, is that you had about five guys in double digits. Giannis leading the team with 35 and 10, but the 10 that you normally would have expected Giannis to get would be 10 rebounds, but Giannis had 35 points and 10 assists. That's unbelievable for a big man, you know, like that you don't really expect to see a lot of assists from. You know, sometimes we see Jokic being this triple-double machine, but he usually is a rarity. Like, we don't usually see a lot of bigs, you know, play with that high of assist tallies. So for Giannis to come out and put up 10 assists and 8 rebounds, it really was a very good game for him. He also had 3 steals as well. You know, Dame Lillard put up 28 points, 7 assists. Chris Middleton had 14 and 7. So it was an effort from the entire team. Brook Lopez, wow, 28 points. 28 points, 8 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists, 3 blocks. Like it was just a complete team win, and everyone was getting involved. And to be honest with you, that's really why the score was how it looked, because the entire team was just in motion the entirety of the game. So yeah. Kudos to the Bucks. You know, valiant effort from the New York Knicks. You had Julius Randle put up 41 points, really try to rally his team, but fortunately, really wasn't enough. When you only have 4 guys in double digits, it's going to be a long night. So,
talking NBA hoops with Muck Bill Yabarrow. Thanks, Muck Bill.
Thanks, Sonny.
Muck Bill was quite excited when he came into the office this morning after a thrilling victory by his beloved Gunners of Arsenal in English Premier League football. Declan Rice's header in the 7th minute of stoppage time Tuesday earned top-of-the-table Arsenal a dramatic 4-3 win over host Luton. With the clock having run past the allotted 6 minutes of stoppage time, Rice got on the end of Martin Odegaard's cross and glanced a header into the bottom corner. With the victory, Arsenal is 5 points clear of Liverpool, which is playing host Sheffield United Wednesday evening. In the other Premier League match Tuesday, the Wolves of Wolverhampton edged visiting Burnley 1-0 on a goal by the South Korean Wong Hee-shan in the 42nd minute. It was his 8th league goal of the season. More football news. 14 U.S. venues were named to host matches in the 2024 Copa America, the South American Championship Tournament that will be headlined by world champion Argentina. The USA and Mexico have been invited to the tournament as guest teams. Copa America 2024 will be held from June 20th to July 14th. And that wraps up the December 6th edition of the show. Thanks to producer Muck Bill Yabarrow. Thanks also to engineer David Greenberg. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
We'll be right back.